with us. Compliment to the Revolution.
Who jump on this giveaway. Lee Wynn takes an early shot and buries it. Lee Wynn, number 10 on the season. And the
this is Luke Moore. Cuts it back. Osorio has sight of goal. Blocked by Swords. It's still on for a shot. And then a big save there by Shuttleworth, who's screaming at Caldwell that he should have checked to the ball on the pass out of the back.
Good win there by Rowe. Gets around Bradley. Play on from the referee. Davies went down. Long shot. Oh, 2-0. Hello, Kevin Rowe. Wow. Long touch now by Rowe. Into space for Davies, who's in on the keeper. Squares it. Open goal for Bunbury. And makes it 3-0. And this is the moment that people have been waiting for around New England all week. U.S. international Jermaine Jones making his debut for the New England Revolution.
And a successful debut for Mr. Jermaine Jones to New England. How you doing?
I'm great.
Hey, it's Brian Speaks, and he's actually talking today. Not screwing up my post-game show. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Tom Quinlan. He's Brian Speaks. He's the voice that you just heard. And we are the boys on the pod as it is a beautiful September 2nd, 2014. It's actually hotter now than it was all summer.
Yeah, it's been ridiculous the last, what, like 3 days now? It's been like 90.
90?
I got into my car yesterday. It's 105 degrees, it said in my car. I imagine it's a little bit of greenhouse effect, but whatever. So hot.
I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to leave that for Al Gore.
Yes.
But I will say this. I am okay with Indian summers. I'm fine with, you know, having this extend all the way to October.
I want it to snow tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. You make me depressed.
I want it to snow.
You know what? It's already starting to get dark out before 8 o'clock.
I'm cool with that, too.
Why? Why?
I don't like the sun.
Oh, wow.
I have pasty white skin. It's not good.
We are completely Irish, you and I both, yeah. So it's not, but I don't know, I'm not one for the cold weather. Never been, never will be. Oh well. How about that? 3-0 opening win for Jermaine Jones in Toronto, and then all of a sudden we have turmoil up north. Ryan Nelson's fired, Jermaine Defoe wants out, TFC won't sell him, they're getting huge amounts of money just to get rid of him, and they won't even do that! Implosion within the Eastern Conference is real.
That's why soccer should not be played in Canada.
I'm going to leave that one alone. All right. Game first. Revs all over Toronto. Did you expect that out of New England?
Absolutely not. I don't know anyone. I mean, if you expected that, I think you're lying. I mean,
yeah,
I expected a win. I did say that ahead of time. I did not expect a complete smackdown. I mean, that was just, they went into Toronto and they just went directly to the throat. I mean, Lee scores in the first 2 minutes of the game and they don't step off the throttle at all.
No.
The entire time.
I thought it was really impressive that the entire time, you know, you just saw a composed team that just allowed the game come to them. You know, it's like Toronto had 63% of the possession at halftime. But with that being said, New England had a 2-0 lead, and they were just sitting back playing the counter. They didn't really, you know, need to go forward.
Yeah.
They just let Toronto bring the game to them, and you know what? Toronto offensively looked really, really bad, and I was shocked. I mean, Gilberto had a couple of chances. Bobby had to make 3 saves on the night, which was good for Bobby because you got to see flashes of how good his game is. And he's been great, you know, as of recently. I mean, let's see. He's allowed 1 goal in 3 games.
Yeah, no, over the last,
and
over the
he's
last
been,
three
Bobby's
games.
Bobby's been really solid lately.
Over the last 3 games, Bobby is being above the norm for Bobby Shuttleworth, which is great because he obviously, as we all know, has a tendency to let some goals in, a lot of easy goals,
a lot of goals
outside the box. And he over the last couple of weeks, for whatever reason, I think it's more improved defense. He really hasn't had to do those long distance shots. He's really great with like the shots that you wouldn't expect him to make.
No, and then the little ones that come right in front of him, he screws up.
Yeah, that's what Bobby does best. Bobby will make the really highlight goal save or the highlight save, but he's very susceptible to like the ones where you're just like, I could have saved that.
He's only allowed 5 goals. Going back to the Columbus loss on July 26th, Bobby's only allowed 5 goals. 2 against Columbus, 2 against New York, 1 against Portland, and he's had back-to-back shutouts here. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a combination of defense and good goalkeeping by Bobby or, you know, outstanding goalkeeping, you know, to pick up for defense. It's all working together right now in the system. I'll use one of AJ Soares' phrase. The system is working.
I will say one thing. I just picked up Bobby Shuttleworth on my fantasy team.
Really? You're going to make that deep of an investment?
He's got 2 games this week. It's worth it. I mean, Sporting, they're going to be without Benny. We're going to be without Dom Dwyer. Their offense is going to be a little bit shaky. And, you know, Chicago can be dangerous, but Bobby Shuttleworth, fantasy pick of the week, lock it in.
Really? That's a lot of confidence.
No, I picked up Lee Winn. That's my lock of the week. But I had Bobby, too. But
that's a lot of confidence in Lee, Bobby, though. You do seem like you turned on Bobby a little bit.
I still think Bobby Shuttleworth is a below-average keeper. He's right now, he's on a, you know,
but he's only allowed 5 goals in the past month and, you know, 6 days.
How many goals has he allowed all season?
35, but I think you can put, like, 3 on Jose, because he had, like, 2 own goals, and I just like putting stuff on Jose just because it's funny sometimes.
He's been playing well lately, too.
Except he has been playing well. Yeah, okay, Bobby's given up more than 30 goals this year, sure, but I think the defense as a whole collectively has been banged up. Yeah, you know, we've gone through this streak without Andy Dorman and Chris Tierney. Both in, I mean, yeah, Dorman was one of the best defensive players on this team before he went down. So, before Jermaine Jones came in here, you had a lot of issues defensively, and it had to do with a lack of depth in certain areas, center defensive mid being one of them. And, you know, it required the center backs to really play elaborate roles, if you will.
Well, right from the start, I mean, the defense had all those issues. I mean, Jose Gonzalez was hurt to start the season, played in Houston, did not look well. Then
looked like crap in Houston.
Missed what, 5 games maybe?
Yeah.
So, I mean, right from the start. And then when he came back, very, very shaky. I think now he's 100%. I think his mind's 100% more importantly. And they're doing good things back there.
Imagine if they didn't give up that goal to Liam Ridgewell against Portland.
Such an awful goal. I mean, a center back should never just be able to come in like that and score a goal.
You could be 6 points out right now of a top 2 spot if not for that loss, which is fascinating to me. You could be 6 points behind Sporting Kansas City for second place in the Eastern Conference. Had you have won that game against, you'd be 7 points out, but still, had you have won that game against Portland there, you know, we're talking about a huge game tomorrow night, it's still a huge game tomorrow night, but it has different implications in terms of playoff seedings when you're going up against Sporting Kansas City. I still say this is a team that is destined for third place, but don't sleep on them making a push for second. Don't sleep on New England making going for second place here.
It's possible. I mean, especially considering what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, if they can get a win tomorrow against Sporting,
then you're 6 points out.
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. I mean, Sporting is not looking well. Over the last 2 games, they have looked...
And they got to play New York this weekend.
Yep, they have looked as bad as they have all season. In the last 2 games, they've given up 6 goals and only scored 1.
They have to play New York in New York this weekend. D.C., because we're going to start scoreboard watching here now. You got D.C. that'll take on Vancouver in Vancouver. Toronto is going to host Philadelphia and Columbus. Who's sitting right there looking at New England 2, is going to host Chivas on Sunday. So those and that game will be right before the New England game. So New England caps off the weekend, essentially. So we're looking at, you know, this Revs team at the end of the weekend. They could be still in third place or lower. but, you know, don't expect it to go any higher, you know, this weekend at least. But I'll tell you, man, it's... I think they're right on the cusp. They could really make a push for second place with just the games that they have left in the air. It's all Eastern Conference teams that they're going to be playing, with the exception, you know, you're not going to see DC United. You're not going to see New York, which is fine, I think, in a sense, because I don't know how well, you know, New England is going to play against some of those mid-Atlantic teams.
I think right now...
You're fine going up against Columbus, Kansas City, and Toronto, and Houston, teams that I think are imploding, right? Yeah.
Well, right now, you definitely want to avoid DC. I mean,
sure.
DC is the hottest team in the league right now, which is baffling to think about.
Manhandled New York.
They finished dead last year. I think they had like 3 wins at this point last year, and now they're first place in the East, second place in the Supporter Shield.
So we'll talk to Carl Sutherland today of Soccer by Ives. Ives? Ives? Ives?
Ives.
Ives. I know. Ives Galarza.
Oh, it's Ives.
Okay. Ives or Ives?
Ives.
Okay. We're not screwing up names anymore here on this show.
We do every time we say this.
Joffrey. Ives. Dallin.
Every time.
I don't mean to intentionally screw up people's names. We'll have that today. What do we got? Oh, look at this. Twitter, you beautiful thing. You know what? Carl's funny. Carl's like one of the good tweeter guys.
Tweeter.
And you just showed me this. Surprising and classless tweet from Toronto FC scapegoating Nelson. Trying to get big name coach there now after this fiasco. We'll talk with Carl about it, but... You know, I think Nelson, I mean, this was just destined. I mean, once this thing started going down the crapshoot with Toronto, I mean, this thing spiraled out badly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hilarious that the away supporters weren't even home. They weren't even in the United States yet, and Ryan Nelson was getting fired. Like, the revolution broke Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely broke Toronto.
That's incredible. Just the overall fall of an organization like this. It's incredible. 10 wins, the New England Revolution have 10, 12, and 3 on the year. Kansas City, 12, 8, and 6. They sit 9 points above New England in second place. DC in first place with 46 points, 14, 8, and 4. I'll tell you, man, this is... wide open, sure. Once you get into the playoffs, I'm so interested to see how things pan out here.
Yeah, no, I think it's
can't wait. This is going to be awesome.
I mean, that's the greatest thing about MLS soccer is the fact that we do have the playoff system. And I think that right now, if the Revs start firing on all cylinders and DC stays where they're at, and if Toronto can find their way, I mean, you have 3 really, really good teams in the East. And that is going to make things that much more exciting. I mean, I still think the Red Bulls are a real good team, too. They tend not to show up in the important games.
Like against DC the other day.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens with that.
McCarthy's questionable. Charleroi's questionable. Obviously, we know Andy and Chris are out. Scott Caldwell is going to be unavailable for yellow card accumulation. So, assuming enough... Jermaine Jones is probably going to be starting center defensive mid this week for your New England Revolution, which I love. How about that? Debut game, Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I hope he can do it. I mean, I almost would rather have him not start and come in late, as opposed to if he can't go a full 90, I would rather have him come in late as opposed to going out early. I'd rather, you know, the 60-minute mark, similar to, you know, he came in the 75th minute in Toronto. You know, you bring him in and you get that fire and, like, just that immediate ass-kicking, right? Late in the game, where you need it. You know, so it is interesting. I mean, right now, yeah, Jones is my pick for defensive midfielder. But I don't know if he can't do the whole 90 or if he can't do a respectable amount of time, I'd rather see him come in late.
Who would you play at center defensive mid, though? I mean, you're not good. I don't want to see Soares there.
No, I would put Farrell in there right now.
You'd put Farrell at center defensive mid?
I'd put Farrell back.
So that means you'd put Barnes and Olsen as your outside wings.
Or Barnes.
Wingbacks.
Or Barnes and Donnie Smith or Alston and Smith. Some. I mean, there's no...
What about playing with three in the back? Would you play with three in the back at home against Sporting Kansas City? Maybe like a 3-5-2 diamond.
I don't see it happening. I don't think... Jadis doesn't shake things up. I don't hate the idea personally. Like if I'm Jay Heaps right now, it's something I'm probably considering.
Because if you don't want to play a full 90 with Jermaine Jones yet, which I'm fine with that. It's cool with me. Why not play with three in the back for a game? Because you still can bring Jermaine off the bench. It's not like you can't bring him off the bench. Gonsalves, Soares, and Barnes. Is your back line. You put Farrell in there with... Well, that's the problem. Who do you put Farrell in as your holding mid?
I think ultimately just staying with the four in the back and, you know, maybe you don't put Farrell back there. I mean, that's what I do right now. Like, if this game starts in an hour, that's what I'm going to submit for my starting lineup. Thankfully, there's a whole nother day. And I mean,
thankfully, we don't have to make these decisions.
I would love to make this decision.
I don't.
I would love to have Jay Heaps.
I don't want to touch this thing with a 10-foot pole. I'm just watching. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how far this thing has come this year.
No, I just think Farrell can do it. I think he's your best option at defensive midfielder right now. And why it sucks you don't have him at right back. You could also, when Jones comes in, you could drop.
You'd slot him back
you
there,
could drop
sure.
Farrell back to right back. And then it's a different story. Then it's your ideal lineup, really. I mean, depending on if you're a Chris Tierney guy or not, that's really your starting 11 throughout.
I'd like to see what they do with Scott. I mean, obviously Scott's not going to be available this week, but for Sunday, moving forward throughout the rest of the season, I think he's a guy that you can't drop from the starting 11. He's just been playing so good.
I think you can start him from your starting 11. I think he'd be a really great sub.
Sure, too. He's closed out a bunch of games this year. I forget the stat. There's a stat that he's got, you know, like coming off the bench.
For a while, we had won every game where he came in late.
Right,
that
there you
did,
go.
That did end during the 9-game losing streak. But, I mean, yeah, he's good starting. He's good off the bench. I think ideally what you do is you kind of put him in, you know, kind of how Heaps has been using Steve Newman lately. And you put him in around that time, and then you could even drop him back so Jermaine Jones and him can kind of both be playing defensive mid. Maybe let Jones roam around a little bit more there because you have Caldwell back. That would be a pretty interesting thing to see. But again, we're still waiting to play. Like, how long can Jones go? Can he go a full game? Because at this rate, because Caldwell's not there. Tomorrow anyway, so this would be more Saturday.
This would be, well, Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Well, I'm just, you're on the edge. You're like, do you start the guy? Do you want it? Could you get away with starting Jones for this Wednesday, and then you have him come off the bench for Sunday? Does that make sense?
Sure. I mean, I don't see why not. I also think that between now and Sunday, I mean, I feel like he played, what, 15 minutes on...
25 minutes.
25. Looked fine. Looked great. You know, nothing, no concerns. Errant pass, but not a big deal. You know, so he went 25, so probably can go 45. I don't know. I don't know fitness of soccer players like that.
Right. Well, we'll see. It should be interesting to see how long the Revs can get at Jermaine Jones for against Kansas City, and that'll be tomorrow night. Also, tomorrow, we got some afternoon footy. 2:15 p.m. in Prague. The Czech Republic hosting the Yanks, the Americans, back in action for the first time post-World Cup.
Yeah, with a totally new roster that most of those casual fans have no idea who any of those players are.
Let's bring that up real quick, shall we?
Nick Raimondo, the lone MLS player.
Nick Raimondo and Brad Guzano split a half.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. Julian Green getting moved to Hamburg. He'll play tomorrow. He's on a loan for the season.
I love that move, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. He wasn't going to play a lot for Bayern. this way. I mean, you're still playing in the Bundesliga. You're going to see the same amount of talent. He's just going to get that many more minutes. Like, in Amberg, he's probably going to be one of the top offensive players. He's going to have a great season as far as minutes is concerned. And if the team sucks, he gets to go back to the, you know, arguably the best team in the world. It's a win-win.
All right, so here's the roster real quick of what to expect for tomorrow. Cody Cropper.
Love him.
Southampton, he's on the roster. Brad Guzan and Nick Raimondo, I just said it, they're going to split halves for tomorrow, which is good. You know, I don't know much about Cropper, though, so I'm interested to see.
He's young. He's up and coming. He's probably back up to Guzan in 2018.
Okay.
I'm
cool with that. I don't know much, so I'm going off what you're saying here. 21 years old, and he manned the U.S. net at the U20 World Cup. Cody Cropper did, so there you go. John Brooks, Jeff Cameron, Timmy Chandler, Jeff Cameron, who did not get transferred yesterday.
Jeff Cameron also, who won't be playing. He's injured.
Right, so but he's on the roster anyways. Timmy Chandler, Jeff Cameron, John Brooks, Greg Garza from Club Tijuana, Fabian Johnson, Michael Orozco, and Tim Ream. So there you go right there.
Love them all.
Tim Ream moved from England to the New York Red Bulls in January 2012. Hasn't played for the U.S. since 2011. Among the European-based players left of the squad. Okay, so that's nothing there. Alejandro Bedoya, Joe Corona, Mix Discrew, Julian Green, Emerson Heidman, and Alfredo Morales, and Breck Shea. Breck Shea. Round out your midfielders. I'm interested to see how Shea is utilized.
Yeah, I hope he gets a good run out. I think he's one of the more experienced players on that roster, which is mind-boggling to think of.
Right.
But, I mean, it's the Czech. I mean, who cares? But I know I hope Shea looks well. I still love Breck Shea.
Breck Shea scored the CONCACAF Gold Cup winner as well.
He did. I was last summer for that.
So there you go. And the forwards up top, Jozy Altidore, who will never get playing time at Sunderland anymore. Joe Gayu, who plays for Borussia Dortmund's third team. Jordan Morris from the University of Stanford. Rubio Rubin from Utrecht. And Bobby Wood from 1860 Munich. And that is your U.S. 23 to go up against the Czech Republic.
And there aren't a lot of sexy names on that list. But there are so many names that you are going to hear over the next cycle, especially Rubio, you know, Joe Gao, he's going to be there. I mean, it's going to be really exciting to watch Emerson Heidman in the midfield. It's a really, really great roster if you want to nerd out for the next 4 years to see how these guys, you know, produce.
There's a lot of upside.
A tremendous amount of upside.
A lot of German... base players too. You have Bobby Wood,
yep,
who plays in 1860 Munich. Rubio Rubin, Utrecht.
That's Sweden.
Joe Gayu. There you go. Borussia Dortmund's third team. Julian Green.
Yep.
Most of the defense. There you go. I like it. It's a good mix.
It's a nice little roster of. Like I said, watch it, get to know those players, because you're going to see them a lot over the next cycle.
Let's see how many goals they put past Petacek.
Three.
Three?
At two. 2-1. 2-1.
2-1?
Yep.
I'm cool with the 2-1 win. One more quick thing, too, before we divert away completely from this U.S. men's national team talk. Jozy Altidore was named the captain for the team.
Logical.
When they play a check tomorrow night. So that's our U.S. men's national team talk there. Maybe touch on a little bit more with our next guest, who is all Revs hardcore. Soccer by Ives is Carl Sederlund. Carl, what's up, buddy? Long time no talk. How you been?
Hey, I've been great, man. Busy week this past week with all the Jermaine Jones stuff, but it's a good time to be a Revs media member.
Absolutely. Your thoughts on the 3-0 win the other night up in Toronto?
Yeah, you know, I think Ryan Nelson probably got the short end of the stick there with how things shook out and getting the cans right after that game. But I definitely think the Jermaine Jones signing energized them a little bit, even though he wasn't on the field for that quick start. And And you got to see, you know, what I really think there's been some criticism of Jay Heaps over his tenure, but his style is a lot of that defensive energy and getting on those quick counters, and I think that's what you saw, and it can be effective when the guys are in form. Obviously, Lee Wynn's been in form all season. You're starting to see Callan Rowe get back on track, and I think it's mostly a result of that, and partially just the team a lot of confidence right now, knowing that they're right in the playoff mix.
Let's talk about Lee in a second. I want to focus on Callan for the minute here. Daigo started in the middle the other night with Lee, and I have been voicing this, and some other people have been voicing this as well, is that Callan Rowe doesn't seem like he presents that speed and agility of an outside winger. And obviously over the last couple of weeks, he's impressed coach enough to remain in the starting 11, and he's solidified maybe that role for the rest of the year. What do you think about Callan Rowe adjusting from the inside to the outside at this higher level?
Right, yeah. I know some of it, too, is that the wings, the way they play on the revs, they've got some freedom to roam around. And I know Callan still likes to get central. It's just his natural instinct. And so it's a decent fit for him. He's got that good left foot, so he can fit in on the right wing. I think partially, too, it has to do with Teal Bunbury. Well, I think he's gotten better outside as he's learned the transition. He's still not quite the production that you're looking for, and it's tough to put a guy like Callan on the bench. So I think Jay Heaps just decided, let's give it a go, and it's paid off so far.
Yeah, as long as it's working. So, moving into this weekend now, moving into tomorrow night now against Sporting Kansas City, Scott Caldwell is out. What do you do with that midfield? I mean, do you start Jermaine Jones? Are you comfortable with having him come off the bench? How do you think Jay is going to play the match tomorrow night?
Yeah, I was just looking at it earlier, and the Revs have so many defensive midfield options that and all of them are either injured or Caldwell's got the suspension. And I think it's too early to put Jermaine Jones in the starting lineup. I forget if it was him or Jay Heaps who said this after the Toronto game, but they said maybe another 10, 15 minutes this coming match. And I think if you push him beyond 45 minutes, that might be a bit unwise. You don't want to have him pick up a muscle injury or something like that, overstretching himself. And I know this is a big stretch coming up. I think it's key, especially with the KC game. You got a couple easier opponents, Chicago and Montreal after that, to keep the momentum going. But I think, I don't know if you see a return of, AJ Storrs to that defensive midfield spot. And because they've got the defensive depth to pull that off and either, switch Farrell inside, and it looks like Austin's ready to come back and see some more minutes. I think, personally, the likeliest thing is that you see maybe Callan switch back inside, at least to start the game, and then you bring on, because that partnership with Lee and Daigo, I think, works really well, but you need someone else in there, and maybe cool it a little bit with the formation, that you have to have a pure defensive midfielder in there, and maybe see Diego and Teal Bunbury get back in the starting lineup out wide. And I think that's, in my mind, I think that's probably likeliest what you'll see. But if Jay East wants to stick to his guns and keep a defensive-minded guy back there, I think he might see AJ Storrs get that starting spot again.
Yeah, I didn't even think about going down the road of bringing Diego back in. It's amazing. Diego came off the bench the other night, and he really wasn't even needed. What does that say about his confidence right now and the confidence that the team has in him? I mean, does it now show that these guys are able to, able to play without a unit, without having that pure goal scorer in there? Is Diego getting his mind back into it? What do you think is going to go on through this transition where Diego's going to find himself back in the starting 11?
Yeah, I think long-term it still looks pretty good with Diego, that he's going to be a borderline all-star level player in the next couple seasons. But right now his form's not great. He's struggling to find the back of the net, and I think part of that is just the attention teams have seen on video for over a year now since he's emerged. But I think you know, a lot of talk has gone to that definitely, and I think this is true, that Jermaine Jones is going to help Lee win a lot, but I think he's going to also help pull in some attention from out on the wings back inside and maybe free up Diego, give him a little more space to operate. I think at this point in the season, points are really at a premium, and you can't really worry so much about hurting a guy's feelings if he's not getting the job done out there. And I think that's probably what you saw. Maybe it's just a little kick in the butt, get him back on track. But I definitely think he factors in down the stretch. But then, and this is where a lot of the depth comes into play, that maybe you see Tony Taylor get some extra minutes if Diego can't get it going again. But I think also he puts in the effort. He's not just the scorer. He knows what Jay Heaps wants from him in terms of defense out wide. And I don't know. I think you might see Diego get back on track this season, but if not, I think the Revs are probably ready to just make that change and see best player in there. At this point, you just need all the points you can.
So you mentioned Tony Taylor. Obviously, the Revs got Joffrey Castillon. How do you feel that these players are going to integrate into the starting 11?
Yeah, I think Tony Taylor is going to be the most impactful of the new guys, apart obviously from Jermaine Jones. I think he's got a good chance to become a top substitute or maybe even get a start down the stretch. Jeffrey Castillon, I don't even think he's has his visa yet, so
yeah,
I don't know if he's going to get the time with the team to really learn the position, what Jay Heaps wants from him, and I think he's pretty set with his one forward formation, and as long as Charlie Davies stays healthy, that's probably his job right now. I think Taylor is someone who we might be kind of underrating a little bit, but then again, you've got guys, you got pretty good depth. You got Newman, who's trying to get some minutes, and you got the guys, so I don't think we're going to see Andre Oxman.
I actually even forgot about it.
We'll see. Yeah.
Carl Sutterland of Soccer by Ives with us. And Carl, going back to July 26th, the Revs have only allowed 5 goals. And Bobby's got back-to-back clean sheets going into this massive game tomorrow night when they'll host Sporting Kansas City. Your thoughts on his confidence right now?
Right. Obviously, he's had a pretty good definitely the Chivas game, I think, was one of his best games of the season. I know Soccer Bias actually got a little shout-out on the broadcast. They were being too hard on Bobby. But I think in certain cases, he had been a little bit sloppy during the middle portion of the season, but definitely his form lately is what they're looking for. And I think the back line in front of him, Jose Gonzalez is starting to get a little bit better from his early season form too. So they got, and you know, that's where Jermaine Jones, they keep going back to that, but having that box to box guy probably helps out a little bit too. So I think Bobby's looking good. And that's what they'll need. Sporting KC is going to be missing Dom Dwyer and Benny Thalhaber, but I think that's what they need going into a game against another top Eastern team, is to have confidence in that goalie.
What do you think, you mentioned no Dwyer, no Thalhaber, what do you think Sporting Kansas City is going to look like without those two players? I mean, they're clearly, Dwyer's their best forward, and Benny Thalhaber is one of the best midfielders in the league this season. How do you think that's going to impact them?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I mean, it's obviously a good team, and it's a hard-nosed team and a confident team. I don't know if they're going to shift around the formation at all, but those are two pretty big pieces to replace, and I think you might see them just hope for a draw, maybe play a little bit more reserved in certain situations, and see if they can get a 1-1 draw or even a scoreless draw. But I think the Revs on the other side are going to hope to get it much like Toronto, get a few counters, and see if they can make that happen and jump out to a 1 or 2 goal lead.
Carl, it's been an up-and-down season all year within the league, especially in the Eastern Conference. There's been so many streaky teams throughout the season. With the Revs sitting in third place right now, do you think that's the highest that they'll go? Or with 9 points behind Kansas City and essentially DC's almost out of reach, do you think the Revs have a chance here to literally make a push for the top two?
Right, yeah. I agree with you there. You know, DC's looking real good. They've had a pretty great stretch, and that's a team I don't think they're going to catch. One of the reasons why this Kansas City game is so big is if they win, all of a sudden they're just 6 points behind, and, you know, if Kansas City stumbles a little bit, that opens the door.
And they have another game against Kansas City, too, to close out the month in KC. So a double whammy for KC, maybe.
Right, yeah. So, you know, potentially that could be even a six-point swing. I think it is worth mentioning, though, that I think Kansas City has a game in hand, so that works to their advantage. Probably third place, I think, is where the Revs will end up. I think they're definitely going to keep up the good form that the Jermaine Jones boost will help carry them into the postseason. I do think that second place is a realistic goal. Whether they'll get there or not, I think that depends a little bit on Kansas City. But I think they can close the gap within a point or two down to the final few games. And then who knows what happens. I mean, it definitely benefit them, I think, to get that second spot. But, you know, there are a few factors. Like I said, the game in hand, it really depends on if SKC can finish strong as well.
All right, we got Carl Sutherland for a couple more minutes here. And Carl, before we let you go, we'll talk about the U.S. real quick. Huge game tomorrow night in Prague as they get ready to take on the Czech Republic. How are you feeling about the U.S. men's national team now as we start the cycle for 2018?
Right, yeah. I think it was probably the smart thing for Clemson to do to bring in a lot of youth and let those guys get a look. There's definitely a few guys who you know are still looking to get an extended or even their first cap, and I think that's going to be a good opportunity for some of them. I know you know with Lee Wynn's form, there's been some talk about, you know, what's this guy going to do to get a chance, but I think the Revs probably appreciate themselves that he wouldn't get called into a game like that because they need him. I don't know how important the result is for the U.S. in this upcoming game, but I think it's more about just getting a chance to look at some young guys.
Who out of the young players, anyone in particular standing out exciting for you to see make their debut tonight?
You know, I haven't checked to see what the projected lineups are. I know you said Josie Altidore is getting the captain's armband. I think that'll be interesting to see if I think he could be a long-term captain for them, maybe in the next World Cup, to see how he handles that. I'd like to see Rubio Rubin maybe get in there, some of the young strikers, maybe just get a look. Maybe not start, but who knows? I mean, there's a lot of guys, 21 and under that I think it's going to be interesting to see them against a full national team.
What about the U.S.'s chances in bringing in any of the New England guys? What do you think about that?
I think at this point, it's going to start to look bad if they don't give Lee Wynn a chance, maybe in October for the Hartford game or something like that. Kellen Rowe, if he finishes strong, that's another candidate. He's got the quality. He's definitely he's one of these premier long distance scorer type guys who can really make an impact. But then again, central midfield is probably the toughest position to break in, and that sort of attacking central midfield role, where obviously they've got Dempsey's been playing a little bit further up in the World Cup, but I think that's sort of his job as the attacking minded guy. But also, you know, who knows? Andrew Farrell's form has I think tailed off a little bit later in the season, but he's been pretty decent. He's another guy who I think is a candidate to get called in. But if I had to put my money on it, I'd say probably just Lee Wynn. Obviously, you know, Jermaine Jones would be the two that I would say have the best shot.
All right. Sounds good to me. Carl Sederlund. Carl, thank you so much, brother. How you feeling about your EPL season, too? You enjoying that so far? You enjoying the international games?
Yeah. You know what? I don't play fantasy EPL, but I like to get up on a nice weekend morning and take in a few of the games. Liverpool, I'm still hoping that they can, you know, they had a pretty good game the other day, so I'm hoping they can continue last year's success.
And follow this man, Carl Sederlund, on Twitter, too, at Carl Sederlund, Setterlund. And if you're not following him already, then you're missing out on some entertaining tweets. Like, I can just scroll through this Twitter page and be entertained for, like, 20 minutes. Because you got your healthy mix of rev stuff, and then there's so much random stuff on your Twitter timeline, like...
I was a fan of yesterday when you just kept tweeting cute emergency, and it was just all cute animals.
I know, like
well, nonstop.
Like, you got a little, like, you got, what is this, like a chipmunk going after a strawberry? What is that thing?
Yeah, I like these.
It's a turtle. It's a chipmunk.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not just a soccer guy. I'm a cultural critic. So.
You went to Emerson. You're well-rounded. You got your liberal arts background, right?
Yeah, right.
Carl Sederlund.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
He's on Soccer by Ives. Get on Soccer by Ives now and check him out.
All right, take care.
Carl Sederlund. At Carl Sederlund. Just follow him there, okay? Cool. Great. Grand. No yelling on the bus!
This isn't a bus.
No, I know. I just wanted to use my Chris Farley voice.
Gotcha.
That's what I wanted to do, man. It's the randomness of this show. Okay, so, Revs, tomorrow night, Kansas City, you know that, 7:30, Gillette Stadium, the Mecca. No, it's really not the Mecca.
No, it's not.
USA versus the Czech Republic, 2:30, NBC. And then that's that, okay?
NBC Sports.
NBC Sports.
I highly doubt they're going to cut into, like, General Hospital or whatever garbage they have on in the afternoon.
I think General Hospital was ABC.
Well,
I only know that because my mom is a savant.
It's one of those
networks. People are running around here. I don't understand why people run around this place. So... Let's just recap real quick the games for tomorrow that you can check out, midweek games, because we'll be back here Thursday, so we'll give you our preview of the weekend then. But the Wednesday games tomorrow are as followed. Philadelphia hosts Toronto, so if you're a Revs fan, you will be keeping your eyes on that still because you are interested to see what happens with Toronto past this Ryan Nelson.
Philly and Toronto play each other twice this week.
Yeah, it's a home and home. Yeah. New England hosting Sporting Kansas City. And then Chivas hosts Seattle. You know, Chivas coming up those standings real quick, man. Coming from the doldrums.
Really? You sure they didn't crap the bed last night?
No, they were awful.
Completely gave up on Sunday. It was embarrassing. Even for Chivas USA, that was embarrassing.
I do owe you a culotta.
Yep.
Vancouver got...
Told you.
Talk about getting... Giving up.
Told you.
Vancouver. Vancouver, Carl Robinson, why? Why, Carl Robinson? I took so much stock in you.
Don't ever sleep on Caleb Porter's timbers.
Oh, man. I mean, that's a battle for fifth now. I mean, 8 points separate fourth to fifth, so... FC Dallas is a lock for the playoffs. Salt Lake, lock. LA, lock. LA's in second place in the Western Conference.
LA... is playing outside of their mind right now to the point where I almost think that they might win, like, the supporter shit. Like, there's no stopping.
No, they've been on
LA right now. Like, something catastrophic is going to have to happen to more than one player. I mean, they just... Zardes, Keane, Donovan.
Zardes is on fire.
Omar is having a great season again. And, you know, Janino is playing well. Pineda is playing awesome.
Supposedly, Leicester City wanted to pick up Omar Gonzalez.
I would have loved that. How about that transfer window, though, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of all over the place.
Yeah, there's a lot of... random shenanigans going on Sky.
On hell,
Sky Network.
Yeah, oh, well, Sky Network was... Yeah. I've never seen a debacle like that. That was... Yeah, of Arsenal coming out and saying, do not listen to Sky, you know, don't believe the reports that are out there. Jeez, that's... that's no bueno moving forward. I'm upset that they I will say this before I get talk about Jeff Cameron. Chicharito Hernandez.
Dumb.
How about that? How
Dumb.
About that?
Dumb.
Send him out to Madrid on loan?
Dumb.
What?
Dumb.
Okay.
He's now the worst player at two of the best teams in the world. Like, I just, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, he wanted to leave Manchester United to play more. Wonder what he's not going to do in Real Madrid?
Play.
Play more. He's not going to play.
He's not going to play, period.
He's not going to make the 18. He might as well just be in the reserve squad at this point. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. You and I both. And then Jeff Cameron doesn't get transferred, which...
Dumb.
I'm worried for Jeffy.
Taylor Twellman tweeted out, there was Sunderland and Southampton both had interest.
Which I did not know anything about Sunderland having interest. I did not. Southampton, I didn't really know about either, but Sunderland came out of left field for me.
I would have loved it if he went to either team. Especially, I'm actually really starting to like Southampton. They've made some really,
Southampton is a good team.
Really impressive moves. I mean, they've obviously lost
90% of their team.
Amazing amount of talent. But they've brought in a decent amount, too.
They had a decent weekend. Well, actually, did they even play this weekend? Where are they? Southampton. Where'd you go? There you go. Winning 3-0 against West Ham. So they have 3 points. The table looks like this. Chelsea sits on top with 9 points in 3 games. Swansea, 9 points in 3 games.
Gotta love those Swans.
Aston Villa, 7 points in 3 games.
Come on, you villains.
Man City, 6 points in 3 games. We should have 9. Liverpool, 6 points in 3 games.
Boo.
Spurs, 6 points in 3 games. Okay. Arsenal, 5 points in 3 games. They're in 7th place.
Rough weekend for the Gunners.
Southampton, 4 points in 3 games, and they're in 8th place. And then the bottom 3 teams, West Bromwich Albion, 2 points in 3 games. Crystal Palace, 1 point in 3 games. Burnley, 1 point in 3 games. And Manchester United, 2 points in 3 games. They sit there in 15th place. I had to throw that one in there, too.
I just have to say one thing.
Okay.
Leicester City, nothing but respect for that team. They played Chelsea, Arsenal,
and Everton.
And they have 2 points coming out of that. They have the same amount of points as Man U, and Manchester United has not played anyone yet.
And speaking of teams with 2 points, Everton has 2 points, and Newcastle has 2 points.
Everton's kind of a shock to have 2 points. Newcastle,
man. You would expect it, but that's, hey, good for Leicester that they're right there with Newcastle.
I respect the hell out of Leicester City.
So, check out the games.
All right.
Let's do it. Burnley hosting Manchester United, the Ginger Mourinho versus Louis van Gaal.
What an embarrassment for Man U.
What an embarrassment. And did you see Di Maria's first pass? It was like a through ball that went straight to the keeper.
No, I didn't see it. But
it was awful.
I mean, the amount of money that team spends in comparison to Burnley, they should win 33-0.
Stoke City. Oh.
Stoke City.
Went to the Etihad. Beat my citizens. 1-0.
Mama Doof.
In the 58th minute. What a boring, crappy game for the citizens. And I'm not like, you know, pulling, you know, jumping for the bridges yet, but I was shocked yesterday when they transferred Alvaro and Negredo. I was very, very surprised to see that happen. Because we had 4 quality strikers. Now we got 3, Jako, Aguero, and Jovic. But like, why would we get rid of Negredo? And they didn't even look to enhance the midfield at all, which surprised me too, because I don't know how long Fernando's going to be out for. Yeah. You know, he had that groin injury in the game that got him taken out. I'm worried. Crystal Palace and Newcastle. What an epic game between those two teams, huh? That finished 3-3.
Yeah, I didn't watch a second of it.
I didn't watch a second of it either, but Crystal Palace was down in that game. Keith Millen, the manager, in his first game back, getting the point. Newcastle went up in the 88th minute. They were up 3-2. It looked like they were going to take 3 points. And then Wilfried Zaha, on a loan from United, gets the goal in the 95th minute. Ties the game, takes 2 points away from Newcastle, makes their season more miserable for Alan Pardew.
I'm pretty sure at Newcastle they're used to it. I mean,
yeah,
their existence is just miserable.
Next game, Loftus Road, QPR hosting Sunderland. Charlie Austin with the winner in the first half of extra time as they win 1-0.
QPR went hard for Jermaine Defoe.
Yes.
Didn't get him.
Now, was that the team that paid a lot, that wanted to bring Defoe from Toronto? Was that, okay, so that was that team?
It would have been a record deal.
Wow.
For MLS.
Terrible. Swansea hosting West Bromwich Albion. 3-0 winner Swansea are. Nathan Dyer with a brace. Wayne Rutledge with a goal as well.
I was so close to picking up Nathan Dyer for my fantasy team.
I've got Jonjo Shelvey. I'm going to stick with Jonjo. I feel like he's going to do something eventually. As we just said, Southampton, 3-1 winners over West Ham.
Alex Song.
Morgan Schneiderlin with a brace. Pele with a goal for Southampton as well, Graziano Pele. And then it was Mark Noble for West Ham with the goal.
What do you think of Alexander Song going to West Ham for on loan?
I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, cool, but, like, what is it going to do for Song's career? And why not even just transfer him out? Why not just get the money for him?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's...
If you're United and you see Alex Song is getting put up there for a loan, wouldn't you want to pay for that type of defender? Somebody that's that aggressive? I don't know why people...
They don't necessarily need the...
They need defenders.
But he's defensive mid, so I mean...
Oh, you're right.
You're getting... I mean, that's... Yes, Man U absolutely needs defenders. They don't need defensive midfielders.
No, you're right. So, I'm thinking big picture. I got to rein it home.
Alex Song is huge for West Ham. It doesn't, but like you said, it doesn't make sense for him as a player.
It doesn't make sense for
unless
him as
he's
a player.
Unless he's trying to get back to the EPL, but like
I don't
know why people wouldn't have wanted him back.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great when he was here last time with Arsenal.
It might be heading down another path for Mr. Alex Song. I don't know. How about this? Shootout? Everton and Chelsea.
Yeah.
At Goodison.
I was a fan of going to the Banshee right after that game for the Revs game to see the Chelsea guys really happy and the Evertonians really, really sad.
Even though we love the Evertonians on this show.
Yes. No. It was funny. Like. I mean, when I left, it was like 5-3 or 4-3, I think. And then I got in, and I could just tell right off the bat, like, a lot of the Evertonians hanging their heads.
They made it close, though. Samuel Eto'o, in the 76th minute, brought it back to a respectable game. It was, at that point, I think it was like 4-3 at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chelsea just finishes it off, and Diego Costa, man. He is.
Who was supposed to be out for 6 weeks with a hamstring injury.
No, I'm just going to put up 24 fantasy points this week. No big deal. Thank you very much. Aston Villa, 2-1 winners over Hull City at Villa Park. Gabby Umbug-Lahore, Andreas Wyman, the goal scorers for Villa. Hull City's Nikola Jelovic, the lone goal scorer. Villa. They made a lot of moves this summer. I am interested to see how long Paul Lambert stays around, but it's a good start to the season for the Fighting Lions.
Which is good for them because they will hit that inevitable hiccup and lose 10 in a row or, you know, something ridiculous.
They haven't been the best of teams at home, so to get a home win.
No, I love the Villains. They're a guilty pleasure. I look forward to seeing what they can do. They're obviously not going to be in third place for very long, but... Hey, it's exciting while it's lasting.
And then Mario Balotelli's debut for Liverpool versus Spurs at White Hart Lane, and it's a 3-0 thumping. Raheem Sterling, Steven Gerrard, Alberto Moreno, the goal scorers, and if anything, this game showed that Spurs are still far behind Liverpool.
Spurs are still Spurs.
Spurs are still Spurs.
And Balotelli came to play.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Brendan Rodgers broke the thinking of, you know, he could come in here and really disrupt a lot of things.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't really have the utmost respect for Brendan Rodgers. I think he's kind of not that impressive for me. But no, he definitely brought the best out of Mario Balotelli, but...
I think you're going to see a lot more of that, too.
One game, we'll see.
And then the final one, Leicester. Tie-in, Arsenal 1-1 at the King Power Stadium.
Yeah, that was rough. rough. I mean, Alexis Sanchez scores in the 20th minute. Ulloa scores in the 22nd. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Ulloa.
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 Ulloa. Ulloa. So there you go. That's your Premier League stuff until September 13th now.
Yeah, plenty of time for Welbeck and Falcao to get ready.
Yes, Falcao is a red now. Welbeck is a red, but he's another type of red with the Gunners.
Should be interesting.
That's what we got.
Should be interesting. I think Welbeck is kind of what the Gunners need.
Well, they need strikers. At least they need for something. Now.
So we'll see how that turns out.
Tomorrow night is huge, though, bringing it back to MLS. What's your prediction? You said that you didn't think this Revs team could take 3 points from Kansas City last week. You told me that. Now, with what you know is coming into Foxborough tomorrow night, does your opinion change?
All things considered, with, you know, Benny being out, Dwyer being out, I am a little bit more confident.
Yes!
I still am not looking past Sporting. I still think that it could go either way. But the odds are definitely in the Revs' favor.
All right. I'll be looking for you down at Gillette.
I'll be there.
It's going to be a packed-out house, I think. I think a lot of people are going to show up.
It's Wednesday night. No one's going to be there.
It's a school night, kids. School is for fools. Look at me.
No one's going to be there.
No one's going to be there?
Nope.
We'll see. Jermaine Jones, home debut?
Less than 11,000.
Wow. He said it, not me.
I don't want to see it. That's my expectation.
No, I'm putting it up there in like 18,000, 19,000 tomorrow night.
That'd be a good Saturday.
It'd be a great Saturday, but I'm hoping that for Wednesday. Okay. 18 to 19.
You can hope all you want. It's just not realistic.
We'll see. Post-game show, 9:45 tomorrow on 1510 WUFC, following the Revs game. We'll have live reaction from Jay. We'll have somebody in studio. I don't know who yet. And we'll be always taking your calls. So there you go.
Get Carl in studio.
Yeah, we'll get Carl in studio. We're not going to have you in studio, though. Never again.
I was never there in the first place.
You know what? Now we don't know why we don't bring you.
All right.
I'm just saying, man. If you're going to call into the post-game show, be ready.
I was on hold for a long time.
Alright. We'll try again.
Alright. I'll redeem myself.
Follow me on Twitter at Brian_Speaks. I'm Tom Quinlan. We'll see you. Bye.
Deuces.
Oh, one more actually thing before we go. Tomorrow, we'll be live from Gillette Stadium, 3 to 6 p.m. on Boston Herald Radio. Brad Feldman, Paul Mariner, Brian Bolello, Jeff Lemieux, and a cast of characters that will be down there at Gillette Stadium for a live show from Herald Radio.
And how does one listen to Boston Herald Radio?
Go on bostonherald.com, click on Herald Radio, or download the TuneIn Radio app and then search Herald Radio.
That was really insightful. Thank you.
Tune in. Live show from Gillette. All Rev stuff tomorrow. Taking over from 3 to 6 on Herald Radio. That's what I'm doing.
And then again at 9:45.
And then again at 9:45 on 1510. Bam!
That's a lot of radio.
That's a lot of Revs radio.
Drink tea.
I will. Thank you, buddy.
You'll lose your throat.
We'll see you on Herald Radio, 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Deuces again.